My guest today, Charles Goldman. Charles, welcome to the program.
How's it going, Ed?
Very well, thank you. And I'm going to kick it off before we even talk with a song you may or may not know.
Times have changed. Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fight and curse.
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
For their beady little eyes and flapping heads on more lies.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
We need to form a full assault.
It's an assault.
Don't blame me for my son Stan. He saw the darn cartoon and now he's off to join the Klan. And my boy Eric once had my picture on his shelf. But now when I see him, he tells me to f*** myself.
Well, blame Canada.
Not even a real country anyway.
Okay,
well, if they remade that song from South Park, now, of course, it would be blame Biden.
Blame Biden, right. I'm guessing that maybe President Trump has this song on kind of a reel, keeps playing it over and over again. You know, blame Canada. So let's hike those tariffs.
Well, you know, the big question about the hiking the tariffs, which, by the way, the Wall Street Journal called a... you know, return to the stupidest trade war ever.
Yeah.
This is the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. And then,
the question is it have anything to do with actual policy, or is it about the fact that the World Cup soccer players loved Mark Carney and that they had to drag Trump off from the stage because he was trying to steal the World Cup trophy?
You would think that the fact that the U.S. team beat the Canadian team in the Olympic final, that would have settled. That would have made Trump happy, go home, stop bothering
Canada.
Well,
he would have if he hadn't noticed that they really gravitated to Carney.
Oh.
You know.
It was a real blow to his narcissism.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see where this goes. But every conventional economic commentator around is branding this as absolutely the stupidest thing ever. I mean, you mentioned the Wall Street Journal. It's hard to imagine how this goes well for the U.S. There's really no way that it does go well for the U.S.
Well, first of all, he has a deal with them. We have a deal as a country with them, right?
Yeah.
A deal, by the way, that he negotiated, or he put his name on, in his first term, right? And everything is actually kind of put off to January 1st, which is when the Trump version of deal of NAFTA has to be renewed. And if it's not renewed, then we really have a problem. The result of all this is that there's a lot of cross-border movement, particularly in the car-making industry. I mean, a lot of American cars cross the border 3 or 4 times. And they cross with no tariff placed on them.
During production.
During production. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It goes both ways.
So you're saying this doesn't kick in until January 1st and...
Oh, well, the items they've chosen are not items that are necessarily covered by UCMCA, whatever. I can't remember what the initials are.
One of the worst things about this is the message it sends to a neighbor that we have gotten along with forever, an unprotected border.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's never been conflict between the U.S. and Canada.
Well, there has. Well, certainly around the time of the American Revolution.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
there wasn't Canada then. It was Britain and France.
Well, it was, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the point is that what exactly is it that he's punishing them for?
Yeah.
He's punishing them for because they treat American dairy products badly. All right. At the same time, we're tariffing their products. Products, by the way, which we don't really have a substitute for. For instance, you know, the lumber that we get from Canada is used in like 40% of houses that are built in the United States because it's of a different quality than we have here.
If Canada keeps burning down with these climate-induced wildfires, there won't be a lot of lumber to export.
Well, actually, the fires in Canada are normal. It's a boreal forest.
They're normal, but not at this level.
Well, it has to burn down. It has to burn down to be able to replenish itself. But the point is that Trump behaves as though that everything that is made somewhere else could be made here, right? Mm-hmm. But all these parts manufacturers are up in Canada. So the economic policy is going to be to rebuild everything on this side of the border to make up for, you know. And the fact is, what do you think a car is going to cost? The average cost of a car bought in the United States now is $45,000. Hmm. What do you think the price is going to be when you put 50% tariffs every time a part or the car goes across the border to be built?
$45,000 plus 50%.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Amy? If this is not going to go well for Trump. And when it doesn't go well for Trump, he'll at least still have the consolation of Nedley Hart. Who I know you've... I know you've taken a particular interest. Though, I mean, a lot of people have. Fascinating animal. What's going on is just... It's hard to know exactly what's going on.
Well, okay. So this came up because John Ossoff, who's the candidate for senator...
In Georgia.
Yeah. Incumbent senator in Georgia, made a comment that what Trump mostly wants to do is trade stocks, play golf, and of course win all the tournaments that he plays in, and travel on the unprotected Qatari jet with Natalie, right? That's all he said. So of course the right wing immediately jumped to saying, that's disgusting, you're implying that the president is having an untoward affair with, you know, this 35-year-old supposed cancer survivor.
Yeah, right. He would never do such a thing.
And you know, talk about the Streisand effect. All Ossoff did was say he was traveling with Natalie.
Yeah.
Right?
Boom.
But boom, the right wing comes out and says, you mean you're claiming that the president is having an affair with this woman. Right?
He didn't.
Actually, the worst thing is the more the story of Natalie Harp comes out, both her story, the one that she pushed to kind of get into his good graces, as well as how she ended up doing the job she did. She's essentially the de facto chief of staff now. Now, maybe it's because Susie Wiles herself is sick with an actual cancer. Mm. We don't know if Natalie Harp ever had stage 2 bone cancer. The oddity about her claim of stage 2 bone cancer at age 17 is there's not a single scar in her body.
How do you know,
Doctor? Well, you can see her arms and legs, you know, to a good degree.
Well,
she doesn't walk with a limp. 17-year-olds with bone cancer, generally the most common bone cancers are going to be either osteosarcoma or Ewing sarcoma. Osteos are almost always in the extremities. Ewings can be in the pelvis, among other more central locations. The treatment of both of them is chemotherapy plus surgery, right?
So you're saying she faked the cancer?
I'm not saying she faked the cancer. It's just that her story doesn't fit, because her whole story is antedated by this weird video she made about how she was a victim of having a, you know, sterile water infused intravenously by mistake. And then she talks about, well, it took away all her platelets. Well, first of all, it doesn't take away your platelets. It actually lyses your red cells.
Is that possible for sterile water to be administered accidentally?
There are a small number of case reports of that happening. Because the point is, it comes in two forms. There's a 3-liter bag that they use for irrigation, which is marked all over it for wound use only, because it's a wound irrigant. And there's a liter bag, which is the size of most IV bags, that they use in the pharmacy, because some drugs are dissolved in them and then mixed with other normal, like, you know, IV solutions. So the point is, she writes about it ruined her platelets, and in fact, no, it causes a hemolytic reaction of your red cells. And actually, its biggest side effect is it can cause seizures and you know, herniation in your brain.
So are others in the medical community weighing
dubious about her story. The other part of that story was, and this is how she hooked up with Trump. Hooked up.
I know you weren't implying anything.
Perhaps I shouldn't use hooked up.
I know what you meant.
Right. She gets engaged with Trump through this family and faith.
I'm not sure you should use the word engaged either, but keep going.
And he then ultimately invites her to the 2020 Republican National Convention to talk about how the Democrats and how they treated her. And her claim is that she was treated, it was failing treatment for this bone cancer, and that she got access to a drug only because Trump had
the right to try
the right
bill.
To try
right.
bill.
Right.
Right. The problem with her story is that nobody can substantiate, because you know, actually, there is HIPAA. I mean, of course, it doesn't work both ways, right? If they go to her doctor and say, did you treat this patient? They would have to say no. If Doge took your information from Medicare, that's okay, right? That information, of course, you know, is okay. to take. But anyway, so she claimed that she was given a drug that wasn't available, and the right to try law was what Trump did to save her life. The problem is that she actually was on social media saying that she was taking a new drug 2 months before the law was signed by Trump. And Trump obviously probably, as usual, had no idea what he was signing. He just put the stuff in front of him. And,
that auto pen thing.
Right. He signed it. He just doesn't know what he's writing. He doesn't know what he's actually signing. So she actually gets this drug 2 months before Trump signs the bill.
Illegally.
Right. The other thing is that it wasn't illegal. Okay. It was a drug that was already approved by the FDA was used off-label.
Right,
which
gotcha.
You don't need to have any bill to
gotcha.
Have that happen.
Gotcha.
All right. So this is why she thinks that Trump is a deity. And
because
this
he brought her back from the dead?
Because that's exactly right. And this is why, she runs his social media now for the most part.
Yeah.
So she's the source of the most reprehensible of some of the social media stuff that Trump has sent out. Like the one where he had the plane flying over the No Kings rally and dumping stool on them.
Yeah.
And of course the ones where Obama's, he's Jesus. And then of course the Obamas are
primates.
So you
think she's responsible for those?
No, yeah, absolutely.
She is.
She brings it to them. Oh. She brings it to them. And her other role is to do nothing but give him good news. Right, she goes. This is what the human printer part of it is. She brings all the good news stories out there that say Trump is wonderful. But, and this is the part of it which I think is more important, the president of the United States is such an amateur, and is so lost in his own narcissism and his empty ego that he needs this woman around him who worships him. He humiliates her. Where do people think these letters are coming from? Right?
Which letters?
Well, the letters that she gave to him are all over the news.
The love letters.
Right.
Essentially.
Right. Did she make carbon copies? No. She left him a letter. That means either he gave them out or the other people in the administration, which is pretty much everybody who hate her, found them and gave them out. Right? But the real problem is, this woman is protecting him from... This is why he doesn't know anything. This is why he didn't know we were running out of munitions. You know, and this is what... This is how dangerous it is to have a narcissist in this position. He has her there because she is there to pump his ego up. And if he said to her, I think I'm going to nuke Iran, she would say, I think that's a great idea. Because,
so how do you know? Why do you think that everyone else in the Trump administration despises Natalie Harp?
Because she has more access than a lot of the other people do.
Probably day and night.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the speculation that they're having an affair.
I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
I really don't care.
That's my
What's more
too,
dangerous but... is what it indicates about where Trump's psyche is right now.
Yeah,
that he would give so much importance to adulation from this woman in particular.
So you think Stephen Miller's jealous?
No, I'm sure Miller probably doesn't have a huge problem with her, but I mean, I'm sure a lot of other people do.
Yeah.
I mean, where's Susie Wiles on this? I mean, as I say, maybe because she's got her own medical issues.
Well, and Caroline Leavitt is gone.
Well, that may be one reason why. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, Carolyn Leavitt probably did say something. You know, you can't say anything that disagrees with what Trump wants to do.
I mean, so many people have either bailed out or been, you know, ejected from the Trump ship.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder where this is going. You wonder why anybody takes a job with him at all, except, you know, in the case of Harp, she is clearly a devotee. I mean, she regards him as some kind of a deity.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's something you really don't want to have a malignant narcissist. And again, malignant narcissist is not a psychiatric diagnosis. It's a literary one. But he has narcissistic personality disorder. Okay? Yeah. Sorry, American Psychiatric Association. Anybody with a brain can figure out that he has an extreme form of narcissism.
Okay. Charles Goldman with me here today, folks.